Mix 93, WKMJ FM, Hancock.
Misiak bringing it down. Justin Misiak dropped the pass there for Smith, but couldn't make the play as it was just too slow getting back to Smith. And the Huskies will bring it right back across the line. Here's a chance for to the front of the goal. Score!
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a little treat, as we've been telling you about the last couple of days. A little treat for you here on this Thursday, as head coach Joe Schoen is joining us via telephone today from the Michigan Tech Hockey Program, and going to give us a little idea of what's been going on with Michigan Tech Hockey since the abrupt ending of the season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And coach, it is very nice to hear your voice again, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking the same thing. Thanks for taking some time today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dirk. And I got a question for you. I've been bombarded with emails. Reportedly, you've been seen since you've been eating, there's no barbers outside of your house with a Def Leppard mullet.
No, I don't, but that's how rumors start. Thank you very much. Yeah,
it's great to talk to you,
Coach. We it's been a month and a half. I was saying this yesterday on the air. I can't believe it's been a month and a half since that exhilarating triple overtime win by the Huskies to finish off the Northern Michigan Wildcats early in March to advance to the second round that never happened in the WCHA playoffs. And, you know, we talked to you since then, obviously, with your show. But, you know, how has it been kind of with an unresolved end of the season like that for you and for your staff?
You know, I think you just move ahead. You know, you don't... I look at the totality. We're not, you know, I think the thing that we try to instill in our, I think I live by it, is that we're not, it's not the destination isn't the end all. It's the whole process, it's the whole journey along the way that makes it. If you're living for the end, and that's the high and low, you know, you win, you lose, those things happen, but it's the process. And what I enjoyed, what I got fulfillment out of, was the group that we had this year, the rebound that we had after a disappointing year the year before, 14-win season, and coming back and having the 8th most wins in the country this year. And you know, really, we started at 1-6 in league play this year and ended up, I believe, 14-12. So we went 13-6-2 in league play in the last 21 games. So a lot of things, a lot of growth there. We had a little down spell in January, understandably so, when we looked at everything that we went through. Certainly would like to come through that a little bit better, and that would have given us a third, fourth place finish. But the journey was good. So I feel fulfillment. I do think we're ready to challenge. I think most people do. I think people felt a lot of the similarities between our championship team my first year as a head coach, that we had it going at the right time. I think that's kind of been a characteristic of the teams I've been fortunate to be a part of. And I think we're ready to do that. We're still excited to go play in Mankato, but the end isn't the end is what it is. And the journey was what I enjoyed and the base that we put together and the excitement right now that I feel in our players. Going forward, that we have something going here that can be special.
So I know this is a very important time of year normally, as far as not only meetings, of course, but you know, evaluating players and recruiting and stuff like that. So obviously, it's much different with the coaches having to be confined to their laptops or wherever, whatever. What goes on? What's been going on as far as the recruiting aspect of your job and your staff's job?
Well, we're still doing that. I'll say this: it's less devastating for us right now than it would have been a couple of years ago. When I took the job 3 years ago, we were in a situation where we couldn't make many mistakes. And in that first recruiting class that we put together with the Hallemans, the Blisses, the Brutzmans, you know, that whole group of hockey players, that great group of freshmen that we brought in a year ago, we didn't make a lot of mistakes. We really vetted it hard and worked hard at it. Right now, we're at the point, really for the first time, that we have the pieces in place at the top, which is the way it should be, and if we're dependent on freshmen coming in and having to do, make changes in our program and impact it in that way, you're vulnerable to like we did 2 years ago, 14-win season, when we were being really led in a lot of ways by a very good, talented freshman class that we knew we had to give minutes to get better, that paid off big this year. But we knew we were at that vulnerability. Right now, we're working ahead. We have that freshman class a couple years ago is now a junior class. We turned the seventh top scoring team in the country that is primarily made up of that. I believe 9 of 10 of our top scorers are returning, with the exception of Smitty, who had a really good bounce back here with 23 points this year. So, we have a lot of things in place that we aren't dependent on saying, hey man, we still got to find this guy or we still got to find that guy. We're really recruiting out now, which is the way it should be in a program. And so we're doing that. We're scouring. We're watching a lot of video. We're making a lot of contacts. We had a really good staff, Zoom. We're getting good at this computer stuff, Zoom. Call yesterday. We're going to have one with the team on Friday. We have another one with the staff today. We're connecting in that regards. And there's names that keep popping up and floating up, and this is really good for the term I don't like, networking, for the coaches to be able to network with advisors and things like that and work ahead. But that's really what we're doing. We're really trying to figure out, okay, who are the young guys that we want to target going out, because we have commitments out to guys that we believe in coming in the near future, and we're really at the point of if someone jumps at us and comes available, we want to make sure we leave room for that, which we've had trouble doing in the last couple of years. We want to make sure we leave room for that, and then we want to move ahead with what we have. But we're in actually a pretty good place right now. I feel really good about where this team is at.
Head coach Joe Schoen for the Michigan Tech hockey program has given us an update here today via telephone. Well, coach, I guess the elephant in the room that everybody's talking about, or at least wants to know more about, this transfer portal has been established for a couple of years now, but it seems like this year it has exploded, and the Huskies were involved with that as well. Can you touch on a little bit on some of the players that are no longer Huskies that still have eligibility, and how are the Michigan Tech coaching staff is adapting to that, and also possibly new guys coming in from the portal to Michigan Tech's program?
Yeah, well, we've used it, and we monitor it daily. We've used it in both regards. I've mixed emotions on it. I think that they could find a compromise within the NCAA of not using, of athletes not being able to use a free agent market and outside influences not be able to create a free agent market and create disloyalty and things like that. But I do also think there's a mechanism that needs to be in place when something is just not working and you want to allow a player to pursue other things, to be able to have the experience that they want. There's some of that involved, and part of that, the transfer portal has a mechanism in place for that, which is the grad transfer portion of it, which it means that if an athlete graduates early and still has remaining eligibility, then they can transfer to another school as long as the your school does not have the master's program that they want to enroll in and a different school does. Well, if you talk to the NCAA people on that, or if you listen to the NCAA people, they don't, like, it's gotten out of hand, which it always does. And so on one side they say, well, this hasn't happened the way we wanted it to, people are using it as this and that. But then on the other side of it, they want to even loosen up these types of restrictions even more. But with that said, we have three players, I believe, this year that went into the transfer portal. players that we had known, and we had talked about earlier during the year on our show, Dirk, that we had known that had asked to accelerate academics. So in track A, whatever, they take extra classes and things like that, and we helped them along with that. And then when the time came, a few of them, Robbie Badoon's going to transfer to Wisconsin. He's going to be given a chance there. And in honesty, I couldn't, at Robbie's stage, he wanted to know that he was going to play virtually all the games, and I couldn't guarantee that. That's just not my way to make false promises to the athletes. I want to be honest with them in that it's good open competition, and whoever's the best goaltender is going to play. And he's a great kid. I've talked to him several times from last week. He's a very good friend. His family is good friends. He wanted to pursue, and it worked out with him at Wisconsin. He's going to have a chance to go there and try to compete with three other goaltenders for that spot. I think he's going to do a good job. I think it's a fair start for him, and he'll get those early chances because I think he's a good goaltender. And we also had Robbie did that. Mitch Meek asked to go in the portal. Same type of situation. He talked. He wanted to come back, and I said, let's really think about it. Think about everything that's going on, and see what you want, and let's see what we can, you know, if it's what you want. But again, I can't guarantee that he's going to play over. You know, we have a defenseman coming in. We have a good portion of our D returning. We want to give Tyrell Buckley a good chance to play this year. We think he's earned it. We think he's grown a lot. And so Meeker has a grad transfer, asked to go into the portal as well, and to try to end his career in a good way, his college career. And we supported that for sure. And I've made several calls on him and talked to several coaches trying to help him out. And I need to make a call to Mitch to find out exactly what he wants, because I haven't seen him grab onto anything yet. But my conversations with several teams has gone very well. So possibly he has a girlfriend that plays on the basketball team here at Michigan Tech. So possibly he's trying to find a place that's close to here where he can keep that relationship going. I don't know what his exact situation is. And then Seamus Donahue was the one that it certainly didn't surprise us. We anticipated that it could happen and probably would happen. Just knowing Seamus, he has a deep affection for Minnesota and for the state of Minnesota, Minnesota hockey in general. And he wanted to try to get an opportunity to go to one of those schools and contacted the Gophers, contacted St. Cloud, contacted the teams outside of the WCHA in that league, the higher profile teams, and was able to latch on with St. Cloud State. So he's going to transfer and play there, and that's the one that works the other side of it, because he would have been a top four defenseman for us. As people know, he wore a letter for us, and he was just looking for something that would fulfill him as a person. So he's going to do that. The other one off the top of my head is Zach Mobile is going to enter the portal as well to transfer for the same reason. It needs to work for Zach to be able to, he wants to play. He put in 2 years and he wants to play. And that's really when I think things should happen after their sophomore year, whether they say, okay, do I want to continue this and try to keep rolling the dice here, or do I want to try for a fresh start? And we supported that and that helps us reduce our roster. That's a win-win for both sides. And so I think that's extended, unless one pops in your head, of players that could have returned and won't be returning. But then we have some great players coming in, and that's part of what opens it up for those players. They see what's coming in and where they feel they fit, and then they choose to look for something that works a little bit better for them. And we totally support them. We're all on both sides of these equations. So we support them and want to help them in any way we can.
Well, and I don't know how much we want to get into this. I know people listening, we mentioned all the other players. I think there's an understanding with Robbie. I think with Meek and Noble and those guys. I think the one, as you're alluding to, that maybe hurts the most or could be the most impacting would be Seamus. And It's certainly not an ice time issue. It's not playing time at all like that. Is it just wanting a fresh start somewhere else for him?
No, it's not a fresh start. With Sheamus, without getting too deep, there's a profile that's in place. Sheamus wasn't a recruit. We're really the only ones that recruited Sheamus late in his junior career. I believe he might have had had been committed one time to Air Force. But we gave him an opportunity. But Sheamus is a highly driven individual that really wants to. I don't know how to put it, but wants to, you know, instead of being happy at a computer programming place within a community, Sheamus would like to be at Hewlett Packard. In his eyes, that's kind of the, and that's always been kind of my discussions with Sheamus. Is Sheamus, don't worry so much about the outside things. Just enjoy, just what I said before, enjoy the day stuff. It's like, don't just look for the destination. And I think that's what it was with Sheamus. He contacted the major schools in Minnesota. I did talk to one school, Boston College, on his behalf that his brother, I believe, plays golf at Boston College, and they phoned and didn't pursue the situation. But I think in Sheamus's mind, I made it. You know, if you look at the release even that was put out, every player wants to play at one of the major schools in Minnesota. That's a goal. When he grows up with the people that he grows up with, that was his ultimate goal. Michigan Tech was not his ultimate goal. Saying that, he did a great job for us. I thought Sheamus did a wonderful job, and that's the one that we have to replace. I think we've done that. But that's just the nature. Now, this is going to get a lot worse, I guarantee you, because a rule is going to come in place very soon, maybe even as early as May, that is called the one-time transfer eligibility standard, which means that a player can leave one time in their four-year career at any time and transfer to another school and play. And then you're going to see a lot of it. Why did this player do this? Why did this player do this? All of a sudden, some of our best players can be recruited hard by through agents and things at the University of Michigan. And at this now, the Big Ten is completely for this and driving this one-time transfer thing. And it's sport-wide. It's NCAA-wide. It's not sold to hockey. Big Ten's driving it. SEC, we were just told on a call the other day, an NCAA call, Zoom deals. The SEC is fighting it. They're football and basketball. You know, they're a Power 5 school. They're fighting it. So there's some fighting it. There's some pushing it. But when that happens, the same thing's going to happen. We'll be talking in a year, why did this person, why did that person, why? And we're going to get the pressure of, weren't they happy? Did something go wrong? And that's not the case. It's that some individuals want to be seen driving Ferraris and Cadillacs and things, and other people are very happy pursuing their goals in environments that aren't perceived to be the top. And that's really the situation that we're dealing with, and that's the pressure. And when you say the transfer portal exploded, it's not that these players are not happy where they're at. We can't get into it too much, but we have one coming in ourselves that entered the transfer portal. It's not, I'm talking to his coach, it's not that he wasn't happy, he's a grad transfer, it's that he wanted something different. He was playing, he just wanted something different, and it doesn't come down to being happy or any reason or anything like that, although that's the easiest thing to blame the program or blame this or blame that, but the reality of it is, you know, a good friend of mine, he just passed away, Jack Bocas, he's a hockey guy, a prominent hockey guy. His brother is one of my best friends, Johnny, and we worked together for maybe 5 or 6 years, and he's coaching out west now. But Jack was really not the godfather, but probably the most prominent hockey name in California. He'd run all like the LA Kings camps, their rookie camps and things, and he coached the minor levels there, the LA Junior Kings, midget teams and stuff like that. And I'd always say, Jack, we want your player. We want this guy. We want that guy. What do we got to do? And he would say to me, Joey, I remember he vividly said this, Joey said, my kids don't want to go up to wherever I was at that time. They don't want to go up there. They want to go to Miami. And I'm not talking about Miami, Ohio. Like, they want to go, you know, those California kids want to go to something different. That's really what it comes down to. So there is no right, no wrong, no blame, no nothing. I certainly don't. I mean, Sheamus gave us three great years, as did Meeker, as did the others, as did Robbie. Great kids. They just, you know, they have to do what works for them and whatever motivates them. A couple of them are motivated by playing time and by opportunity. And I think Sheamus is motivated in a lot of ways by perception. And there's no right, there's no wrong. It's just the world, and it's the world that as it exists today. But it's going to get a lot worse, and it's going to make it really difficult for non-profile teams in an environment where their roster can be plucked. Things are going to change in a big way.
All right, Coach, we got to take a break. Hang on there, please, and we'll be back. Head Coach Joe Schaub for the Michigan Tech hockey team is with us, giving us a Michigan Tech hockey update. We'll be back with more after these. Coach, we've been hearing about a few other conferences, especially out east, Atlantic Hockey, Hockey East and ECAC conferences are preparing, putting contingency plans in place should the COVID-19 issue still be an issue come next fall when the seasons are ready to start for Division I hockey. From what we've read, the WCHA has not commented on that yet. Do you have any thoughts on that, or are there any talks going around the coaches in the WCHA regarding that and the scheduling?
Need to prepare like we're starting right away, and that's really how we're approaching this situation is planning to be back. And you know, you hear everything on the watch TV closely and monitor it closely, and it sounds to me like things are trending. I don't know what that'll actually mean, but they're trending in the way of opening things up a bit. So I'll just say that we're preparing for the fall, and then we'll adjust after that. But what you're talking about is scheduling. That's administrative type things that are above what we do. All we can do is make recommendations as to, hey, let's make sure we have things handled and be ready to give us a backup plan, because we can't dictate that individually as a coaching body.
Head Coach Joe Schaub is with us from the Michigan Tech hockey team. Coach, we do have a few questions that were sent in. Here's one of them. This is an interesting one. This listener is asking you, if everybody remembers back in January, the team was hit with illness and really a lot of guys were out of the lineup for some very important series, WCHA series. And this fan is wondering, is there any chance that any of those illnesses were COVID-19 related? And in extension to that is, could there be any testing done with those kids to see if they had the antibodies?
That's actually a great question, and certainly not taking me by surprise, because we've talked about the very same thing, and the answer is we don't know. It was I know it affected us for sure. It affected our season, because as I mentioned, we were 13-6-2, and three of those six losses came during that time when we were playing without significant numbers in the lineup, and even players were playing that didn't have fevers. They weren't playing with fevers, but every day we were having, I mean, every day, Nate Larson didn't want to come in and talk to me. First of all, I was sick, and everybody, I mean, for a month, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and as was a good portion, I mean, everybody, I think, got it. So we don't know what will happen. My gut feeling is that nationally, those questions will be answered, that they will, because we traveled at that time too. We were in Detroit, we were in Fairbanks, during a time when there was a lot of Chinese influx at our hotel. Not saying that in a good way. I don't want anybody hurt in a bad way. We just have, there's a lot of people at that time that tour, busloads that were in our hotel and things. So we were exposed there. We were exposed at the GLI. We were exposed on plans and things right after the GLI in Arizona to travel, is all I'm saying. So I guess there's a possibility of that. But I think nationally, from what I see, is that at some point everybody is going to be tested. to the best that they can for the antibodies so that they have a good grasp to get a whole feeling on this pandemic structure. And I think when that comes out, we'll see, you know, whether anybody turns up. We did have a lot of guys. Some tested positive for influenza. Others tested negative for everything, and we were just told it was viral. So hard to say. I don't know. If it is, then that'd be interesting because we only have two cases in our area, and you know we were out and about in the community. So so two reported cases, but I don't know. It's a good question, and I think we'll find out and find out who was exposed and who wasn't nationally at some point.
Next question for you, Coach, is when does the new conference CCHA start? This fan is also asking who's in it again, and will the conference be adding anybody? Well, of course, we know the new conference will start 1 year from this coming season, and the seven teams, the WCHA teams, are all in it with the exception of Alaska Anchorage, Alaska Fairbanks, and Huntsville at this point. But I guess the question you could answer, Coach, is can they still add somebody?
Anything's possible. I'll be honest with you, out of respect for everybody, I just assume I've stayed out of this, and I think people have seen that right from the very get-go, and I think that my superiors can attest to it. I'm not asking any questions about the new, about anything like that. I don't, you know, I respect the people that I work with, my colleagues, and I just assume just focus on Michigan Tech and who were on the ice with at a given time. Those things aren't, I spent plenty of time being a general manager at the junior level, and having on national boards, USA Hockey boards, making those micromanaging decisions, and I just choose to just work with what I can work with and show respect to everybody.
Very good. Another question in, Coach. What coaches that you know who are no longer actively coaching would have been really good at dealing with the current climate in college hockey? Not talking about any of the current coaches, but do you have any past coaches, any great past coaches that you think would have been really good at dealing with the current climate of college hockey?
No. I think here's what I honestly think. I think the prominent schools, I think this is a safe thing to say. I think the prominent schools, the high-profile schools, that have the glitter, that have that wow factor, will be able to get by with average coaches. And if they get special coaches, they're going to develop distancing with the rest of the with the rest of the body. Is what I think. I think that everything's being done, and it always does. If you go with money, go with everybody with power wants to set themselves up to be at the top. That's why it's dangerous. It's dangerous, but people, when jobs and everybody are vulnerable to the power, you know, it gets to be a dicey deal. We see that every day in everything we do. With arguing and bickering and things, it's all about power. I think that the lesser schools, the non-profile schools, to be special, to be competitive on a consistent basis, will have to have a special coach. They'll have to have special coaching, special staff, who will still possibly be like that PJ Fleck guy at Minnesota, a very good coach, who trying to elevate, you know, who's not maybe not content at where they're at and wants to be known as the best of the best. So I think a good coach at any level is a good coach. I don't think anybody is going to like it unless you're a team that can pilfer from everybody else. You're a program, you know, that everybody wants to go to, that agents or want to go to, that loses a player signing early and says, I want that one from that program, get them for me, and you can go around the rules, tampering and things like that. behind the scenes from player to player, whatever, saying, would you like to come to us? I think those are the people that will be happy. And I think to compete with that, you're going to have to be a special coach. Now, do I know special coaches? Absolutely. Lots of special coaches, but, would they be happy with today's game? I don't think so unless they're coaches that were in the programs that are going to have things tilted in their table. And that's just being honest. And I don't think that'd be the elephant in the room if you're at an NCAA meeting of, hey, listen, why don't you just utilize your program and not have to worry about everyone else's program? Every rule that's gone under, you know, from player, gentlemen's agreements and things like that, it all comes down to players. It all comes down to getting the players. The coaches want the players. And when there's pressure on athletic departments with money to produce, there's more pressure on the coaches to win. And it comes down to players. Bad coaching good coaching doesn't make bad players better, and bad coaching doesn't make good players better. It comes down to players, and you put a combination of players and coaching in there, and then, it'll be very hard to compete.
All right, one more question for you, Coach, and then we'll let you go. But we really appreciate this. Somebody just wanted you to comment on Illinois hockey, the possibility. There's been some articles that have come out recently. In fact, we had it on our Sports Today. They had expected to make an official announcement within a month, but then the COVID-19 pandemic's kind of putting everything at a standstill. But do you see, Big Ten schools like that or other schools still changing the landscape even more of college hockey in years coming up soon?
If there's going to be teams added right now with everything that's going on, I think there's a chance you'll see attrition, more potential for multiple attrition than you will be for multiple adding of schools. I personally believe because, depending on where this goes and how it impacts budgets and things like that, that's what I think you'll see a little bit more potentially. But I do think that the schools, like when you're dealing with $30-40 million a year coming into a university because of a Big Ten network or a different type of a TV network coming in per school because of that network, then they have the luxury, somebody like in Illinois, to add. So I think if you see adding, you could see someone like, I believe it's St. Thomas or something they're talking about in Minnesota. That could happen, but, I think that would be a bit, I don't think that's going to be there's going to be a mass push for that, but I do think you could see some adding in possibly a Syracuse or possibly, Illinois is very close. They'll check the landscape and things like that and see where this all falls. If there's realignment out of this or whatever could possibly happen. But I think it's going to go. I think it's going to come down again to who has the money. It always comes down to who has the money. But I think that'll be more of a limiting factor in the near future than a driver.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. How much are you missing the NHL not being on right now?
That's devastating. It is because we get that's where I've always enjoyed it by. Copy, I mark those games as I'm watching them. I have, everything hooked up to the TV. I'm watching, I'm marking it, I'm marking break, I'm marking everything for consistencies and how they can adjust. So that's devastating. That's the part to me that's devastating because we watched between our staff and between me personally, we watched virtually every game of last year's playoffs and rewatched it and rewatched it and talked about it and looked at things. Eventually, you see the true nature of the game, where everybody's giving it all the time, and the execution is at a premium of things. So that's been the hardest part for me, to be honest with you, is missing that playoff hockey.
Well, thanks a lot, Coach, for your time and your insight. We appreciate it. I'm sure the Michigan Tech hockey fans appreciate it as well, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon here on the radio as we continue on during the off season and finding out, how much longer we'll be shut down and how that changes or affects the way you guys coach and recruit and everything for the rest of the summer. But I hope your family is safe. I hope everything is well with you. And again, we can't thank you enough for your time here today.
Well, Dirk, I want to pass on, you know, how much Laura and I love everybody. You know, how much we thoroughly enjoy this, you know, this community. And I want to just say, on the last time we were together at the Turbo Agency, I made a comment on how there were some pictures on the wall, if you recall, Dirk, of the bridges, of the Houghton Bridge, Hancock Bridge. And there were a couple of people brought me incredible pictures of the bridge and brought them to the house during this situation. And so we heard you on the radio show. And I mean, I'm talking about magnificent pictures that one of them doesn't need framing. One of them we're going to have framed as soon as we can and put them on display. But you don't find people like there are here. So this area will always be close to Laura. Mine and Laura's heart, and I want to, you know, tell everybody how much I appreciate the passion. That's why I share so much information with the people I make myself so vulnerable with people, is that, you know, I truly care, and they truly care about us, and we're all in this as a family. So thank you, everybody. This is just another thing, like the flood and everything. We'll get through it. Be safe, but we care. I want you to know we care deeply about you all.
Sounds good. Head Coach Joe Sean here on Mix 93.